approximately.
Coast to coast.
Now from approximately coast to coast.
Father Elliott.
Ray Goulding. And Ray Goulding.
Take great pleasure.
Take great pleasure.
Presenting. The CBS.
Oh, I have. The CBS.
Radio
Network.
Right.
Again, everybody, it's Bob and Ray and their great bird and a program for all the family, we feel.
I wonder if the person who threw this, what would you call it, on the stage, it's like a piece of pastry, who did that?
Did they throw that at the great bird?
I don't know, or were you throwing it at Bob and Ray?
It was for the bird.
Who's for the birds?
No, that piece of pastry was for the bird.
Oh, well, the bird.
For the bird, I mean, you only have...
The Bob and Ray pet bird there doesn't eat pastry. We keep him on a very strict diet.
All right, well, I'll come up and get it off there.
Do you have any food you want to dispose of? There are containers at the rear of the studio.
Okay.
Well,
I'm sorry.
All right. Could I have your name, please, sir?
Yes, of course. You want me to write it out on the blackboard?
You don't need to hand it to you.
My name is William McGrath.
Look, I was just going down into the studio audience, so if you would write on a piece of paper and hand it to the Bob and Ray Midget, I'm going to talk to some of the people out
there.
Okay.
Where is it? Oh, there it is.
Now, let's see who we will chat with today.
Yeah,
you thought it might be... No.
Me.
All right.
Him.
All right. I tell you what, I have to set this up first.
Go ahead, him.
If you wait, just give me a chance, please. We thought maybe, since we do have so many youthful members of our audience here today, we might find out whether they have different ways of earning summer vacation money. I know a lot of the kids set up little ingenious ways of earning money. How about this little fellow over here? How are you, sir?
Fine.
Could I have your name?
George M. Perkins.
And do you have a vacation job, George?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it. I think there might be some kids listening who'd like to get some ideas from you. What do you do for extra money in the summer?
Well, what I do, Bob, is I have this crate. And my mother gave me some linoleum to put over the crate.
Yeah.
And
what did you make? A little delivery wagon?
No, I made like a small counter.
Yeah.
And then my mother gave me some orange mix and some water and I painted a little sign. I'm selling orange out in front of my house for a nickel a glass.
Say, that is a wonderful idea. And I'll bet a lot of kids are getting real anxious to go into business like that. How long have you had your little business going there, George?
Well, I started it 3 weeks ago, and I've had quite a bit.
You charge a nickel a glass?
Nickel, yeah.
What's been your biggest day to date?
6 cents.
6 cents is what you made in your biggest day.
That's right.
How selling it for nickel glass? How could you arrive at a figure like 6 cents?
Well, one of the kids only wanted a sip.
Oh, I see. So you gave him a penny's worth.
Right.
Kind of.
That's right.
Well, that certainly is an ingenious way of earning money, and I hope you're real successful. How old are you, Georgie?
42 years old.
I hope you make a lot this summer, and that you have a great time with your. With your stand.
Thanks. I'll tell Mom.
Okay. I'll tell you, those kids are wonderful. They're hard to beat.
Well,
hi, Mary.
Hi.
Haven't seen you for a week or so.
Who's the big old 42 years old?
He's got a lemonade stand out there.
Orange.
In front of his mom's house. that's a good one.
Oh, my. Well.
What have you been doing? Nothing very much with us. You've seen the great Bob and Ray Bird, haven't you? That's become kind of a mascot.
Terrible. I wish you'd take it out of the studio. What's the feeling you get from birds like that?
Well, I don't know, but I think...
You get something, I'm sure.
Well, maybe bird fever.
Well, I don't know. It's such a gamey-looking bird.
Well, it is, but we figure we can bring him back into a healthy condition if we treat him with a little kindness.
Yes. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you've got a full agenda.
It's new, it's revolutionary. It's at your Columbia phonograph dealer. Columbia, first with the LP record, first with guaranteed stereo fidelity records, is first again. Stereo One by Columbia, number one in the wonderful world of sound. A new listening experience in stereophonic high-fidelity sound that makes all your records, stereo or regular, sound better. Just wait till you see the great selection of Columbia Stereo One models at your Columbia dealer. Just wait till you hear the great new sound of pleasure, Stereo One.
There's a Columbia Stereo One phonograph for every room, for every budget, for every listening need. Columbia portables are priced as low as $24.95. Consoles with many exclusive new Columbia features start at the amazing low price of $129.95. And you can buy on easy terms at your Columbia phonograph dealer. See them all and hear them all today.
We wanted to bring in our book reviewer, Webley Webster, this evening because we haven't heard from him officially since we've taken to the air here at CBS Web. Have you been reading a lot and getting yourself in shape for this summer and fall?
Hello, Bob, and hello again, book lovers everywhere. What'd you ask me, Bob?
I said, have you been reading a lot and getting in shape for the season's book reviews?
I've been reading a lot, and thereby I've been getting in shape for the season's book reviews.
Would you like to review one for us and have your players act out a scene for us?
Yes, well, I have the Webley Webster players in another studio, and the book I'm going to review is the American League Green Book.
I don't think you've ever touched on this before.
Well, it had every fact and figure on the American League.
Well, how are the Webley Webster players going to get a scene out of the American League Green Book to present?
Well,
on the radio?
We're just waiting here. As we look in on the players, it seems they've been at sea about 3 days. And.
Sit homely, Captain.
Well, matey, where be the captain's quarters?
Well, I'll have to go below decks and get it for you, sir.
Why, you...
Oh! Oh! Oh, begging your pardon, sir.
Now, get up off on the deck and keep a civil tongue in your head when you're talking to the captain of this here tub.
I only said your port was below deck, sir.
Why, don't you?
Thank you.
I'm off the deck. Now then, will you be so kind as to tell the good captain where we be on this here chart?
Well, if you look here at the chart, sir, where it says horizon, we're about 40 knots this side. And heading due south.
Why, you...
No! Oh!
Now then, get below, mate. Bring me back the captain's port.
Will you be wanting the captain's ditty?
Why, you...
Exciting,
a terrific book.
Scene,
I recommend it for everybody, from little kids to old gaffers and everybody. Men and women. The American League Green Book.
Oh, I don't know.
On sale at most, I guess, bookstores.
Whether they'll ever find that scene in the book.
Well, I gotta get out and talk to the players that did a swell job.
Oh, okay, they were fine.
Well, I just don't think
it's worth it. Ray, you have something to say to somebody?
Oh, come on, don't be fighting.
They look
baggy to
you, Webley.
They look
baggy
to you.
All right, please.
Come on now. Oh, my bad for all of them, Bobby. All right,
please. Please. It's just that you're
all right, Mary. Now, look, we're on the air, please. Complete shambles here.
Sir, I wanted to talk to you. You look like a successful businessman.
Well, appearances have deceived me. I happen to have an
uncle.
Webley, will you leave me, please?
Mary, he's all worked up.
It's
just because they rag about those players, you know, they can't...
Sir, I want to apologize. I was saying you look like a successful businessman.
No, I just have a friend in the clothing business. Well, he's an uncle. and it keeps me in suits.
Well, then, what do you do?
I'm a failure. I drift from one job to another.
Well, how do you account for this?
Well, it was that summer I started feeling sorry for myself. Spring was real rugged in high school. I'd been left back once.
Sure.
I figured I'd get out on my own and do just as well in the long run.
But you haven't, right?
My all-time record was getting fired 3 times in 1 week. They sure go for those sheepskins in business.
So, you'd recommend, then, that young people stay in school, or...
I'd recommend young people be thoughtful themselves.
Uh-huh.
They should get their diploma, yes, and go back this fall and finish up. They'll compete with some success. There's enough competition among the failures as it is now.
Right. Well, I think that's good advice. Point being, for you kids to stay in school and get your sheepskin. You'll need it when it gets cold outside.
Hey,
speaking of the audience, do you see who's there in the third row?
Well, it looks like Wilbur Field.
It is. Wilbur, did you bring a bomb? Good.
Yes, I always have one.
Okay,
here.
Well, come on, bring it on up here. Ladies and gentlemen, just to fill you in
on that. Get your midget to help me carry this up, please.
Okay, Hector, would you help him, please? Hector, midget. Hey, Wilbur Feely here is one of the most famous bomb deactivators of all time. I don't know whether you've ever heard of him before, but he's done...
sit down here, Wilbur.
Yeoman work, yeomanship work for many years, deactivating bombs all around the country. Wilbur?
Yes, Ray.
This bomb here that you've placed on the desk weighs about how much, did you say?
400 pounds.
400 pounds.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so this would, certainly devastate a building this size, right?
Certainly.
Demolish it. Wilbur, friends...
You'd know something would happen if it went off.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
That's my job, to keep it from that.
So you're going to deactivate this bomb on the air. Wilbur, I'm going to step in the control room.
Yeah, I'll go with you, Ray.
Okay. Wilbur, use that microphone there.
You don't need to leave. It's perfectly safe.
Oh, no,
safe.
Just describe what you're doing so the audience at home and listening in car radios will know exactly what you're doing, okay?
All right, Ray. Right then, we begin. Ray, I won't need music for this. No music, please. I like to work alone. Now, the first step in the deactivating of a bomb of this sort, of course, is to remove the nose cap, which houses the wires, which must be disconnected or clipped in order to make the bomb inactive. Very slowly now, we unscrew the cap, making certain not to move the bomb. And there it is. Lay it quietly down the side. Now we are exposed to 3 different colored wires, a red, a green, and a yellow. The red wire, the simplest one, of course, is the timing device wire. And by clipping that, we stop the timing device, leaving us with a green and a yellow wire. This is the most important part, because we must get the wires cut in the proper sequence. Cutting them in the wrong sequence, that is, the red before the yellow or the yellow before the red, can be very troublesome. In this type of bomb, I shall cut the green one first. Everything is fine. Now that leaves us with the one final yellow wire, and to make certain, we shall clean the wire just a bit, removing some of the... not too much... some of the covering. Now we have the bare wire exposed, and... one more clip of the clippers, and we will have deactivated another bomb.
Oh. Well, we'll have to sign off from here in the control room. Until the next time, this is Ray Goulding reminding you all to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Oh, look at the midget here.
Lou This is the CBS Radio Network. Thank you.